want him dead.
Chicago.
I want him dead.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
You pull a gun.
Hi, dudes.
That's nasty, why?
That's Chet, Gary.
Now, Dustin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. Bueller.
Tell me your children.
That's right. It's our quest to find the best Chicago movie of all time. We started with 64 films. We're down to the Elite Eight. All this week, we bring you heated matchups. Last night, the Untouchables moved on to the Final Four, defeating about last night. So which movie will join the Untouchables? Will it be Risky Business or Ferris Bueller's Day Off? It's Matthew Broderick versus Tom Cruise, the North Shore versus Chicago, two high-priced sports cars totaled in different ways. It's the tale of two teenage heroes with some of the best scenes in movie history.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
So far this semester, he has been absent nine times.
Nine times?
Nine times.
Is there a problem?
You're Abe Froman.
That's right. I'm Abe Froman,
the sausage king of Chicago.
Yeah, that's me.
And who you work for, huh? Who? You don't work for me.
Who? You don't work for me.
Maybe we work for Joel now.
She's only kidding.
I hope so.
Bueller?
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
God.
You locked the door! The keys are inside!
Gummy bear? They've been in my pocket. They're real warm and soft.
Oh, yeah. The gummy bear, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you tonight on why you think either Ferris Bueller or Risky Business should move to the Final Four in studio. Tonight to rep for Ferris Bueller, Rachel Mason.
Good evening.
Rachel, the head of advanced improvisation at Second City. Good to see you, Rachel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Always great to see you. All right. And standing up for the underdog, Risky Business, is our very own Nick DiGilio. Hosts 11 to 4 here on WGN Radio and also a longtime Chicago film critic who has a lot to say about these two films. Nick, great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. All right, so let's get right to it. Nick, I'll start with you. Why Risky Business? Why when I came to said, hey, what any movie you want to do, you said, it's got to be Risky Business.
It's a seminal movie for me. I was 18 when it came out. I had just graduated high school and was about to go into college. Now, I'm not a rich kid from Glencoe whose dad has a Porsche, but the issues that Risky Business deals with were issues that I was dealing with at that time. So it's a real personal film to me. Like, it hit me at the exact right moment. 18 years old, going into college, and here's this
right
gift of a movie. It also came out at a time when I was in high school. There were basically three kinds of movies that got released in the late 70s and into the early 80s when I went to high school. And there were three types. There were slasher movies that were named after holidays. There were TNA movies like your Porky's,
right,
and Private School and Private Lessons and stuff like that, and Cheech and Chong movies. Those were the things that we would see as teenagers. And when Risky Business came out in the summer of 1983, we had been inundated with really bad teen TNA movies. And it actually came out a week after Class, the movie Andrew McCarthy sleeps
right
with Jacqueline Bisset. Right. It was Rob Lowe's.
A lot of Rush Street in that film.
Yeah. And so it was a week after that. And the trailer was not promising. The trailer was, hey, he turns his house into a brothel and the Porsche goes in the lake. Hey, wacky. And I was like, this is going to suck. And I remember Roy Leonard hosted the screening that I went to the first time I saw Risky Business. And I went in with low expectations, thinking it was just going to be another TNA movie. And about 20 minutes in, I was like, no, this is, there's something going on
here. The title of the movie almost betrays the film, because Risky Business if you have a film called Risky Business in 1983,
yeah,
it's right in there with Porky's and all the other TNA movies you just mentioned. But
I mean, it's an appropriate title for what the movie really is about. But I mean, the original title was White Boys Off the Lake. That was the original title of the movie, and because there's a line in the movie where someone says to here, I'm going to give you a number, Joel. It just ask for Lana. It's what you want. What you want. It's what all white boys off the lake want. Right. And that was the original title of the movie that when Paul Brickman wrote it. But they changed it to Risky Business. For me, the movie is it nails the 80s, and they filmed it 2 years into the decade. It nailed the greed. It nailed the corruption. It nailed what people were, you know, putting on top in the 80s. What were the morals of the 80s? Mm-hmm. They shot that movie in 1982, and it said more about the 80s than 90% of the movies that came out after that. And this is like before, you know, Wall Street and before all of the movies that sort of talk about what the 80s were like.
Right.
Paul Brickman captured that 2 years into the decade.
All right.
And it's also really dark, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's a movie that is about the corruption of a kid. I mean, it ends with his corruption, and it goes even further. He becomes a pimp and gets into Princeton. So the message is, you can become a pimp and get into Princeton. And all that stuff blew my mind when I saw it.
Oh, I love it.
Rachel, you got a look on your face.
I'm still reeling from the fact that he said seminal. Still reeling
from
that
fact. Well, I was an 18-year-old teenager.
Yeah,
so
have seminal moments.
That's an important word.
Exactly.
All right, Rachel, so let's talk. When I threw it out to you and said, you know, what movies Ferris Bueller spoke to you, what is it about Ferris Bueller, which is one of the most popular Chicago movies of all time and the number one seed in our tournament, what was it about Ferris Bueller that you wanted to represent?
So, like White Boys Off the Lake, I think that Ferris Bueller is one of those movies where, like, Chicago is just as much of a character as the characters in the movie. It's not just a setting. It, like, affects their entire, like, story arc. I think that it's not only about, like, kids we can empathize and sympathize with and having your perfect day off and getting away with it. They also deal with all kinds of stuff, like parental issues and
depression.
I mean, depression.
Cameron in that film is straight up depressed.
But even Sloan, like, you know, she's not doing so great. And poor Ferris's parents don't have no idea of the boy. The only person who knows is poor Jennifer. Jennifer Grey, right? And everyone hates her, which is the character I can empathize with.
Now we see a little bit into the character of both of you personally when you're like, this is Risky Business and it's seminal, and it's seminal. Jennifer Grey was a seminal character for Rachel.
Well, no, one of my favorite parts of that movie is when she's sitting in the police station.
Yeah.
She's like, don't you dare say, and he's like, Ferris. But also, it's one of my most favorite and one of several iconic lines. What are you in for? Drugs, like that, just the look on her face.
Charlie
and like
Sheen,
like experimenting with drugs and Charlie Sheen, like a heartthrob in this little throwaway part. I feel like that movie had everything from like high culture, like we got to see a Seurat painting and watch two guys steal a car and go joyriding.
Ferris Bueller, of course, the number one seed. So let's get right to the line. They're already calling in here. Let's go to Kathy. Right. Kathy, what do you like? Do you like Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off for two scenes. First of all, you played one earlier, the Bueller. And second, who wouldn't want to get on a parade float and sing your heart out when Chicago ran their parade on Dearborn? So, Rachel, do not let Nick DiGiulio take you down. It's Ferris Bueller all the way.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Everyone knows your feel for Risky Business.
It's my second favorite movie of all time.
What's your first?
Magnolia. So they're both Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, Tom Cruise movies. Yeah. Wow.
Both movies about toxic masculinity.
There's a lot to it.
Nick D and Rachel Mason in studio tonight. It's Ferris Bueller versus Risky Business. What do you like? 312-981-7200. The winner moves on to the final four of our Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match, which we've been talking about all month long. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk more about these two films. So stay with us. Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight, 720 WGN. It's our Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. We are in the Elite Eight looking for a Final Four entry tonight. Ferris Bueller versus Risky Business. Rachel Mason is here. And Nick DiGiulio, a Walk of Fame, celebrity here at WGN, who hosts the show 11 to 4.
Yeah.
And a Risky Business super fan.
Yeah.
What scene from Risky Business?
Well,
what's a scene that you say, okay, that's what
there
got
are
me.
There are so many that I can go into. But, I think my favorite scene in the movie, though, is after the Porsche goes into the lake, he has to get the car fixed. His parents are out of town. Who's the U-boat commander, obviously, is one of the lines in that. And he's late to school. And it's an unexcused. The woman will not give him an excuse. So he has like a meltdown and grabs her.
Right.
And then they cut to the outside of the school that evening. And the guys are standing out in front. And they tell that he's kicked out of Future Enterprises. He is suspended. And he's completely devastated. This is like ruined his life. So Joel comes out and he's like, I need a bike. And they give him a bike and he rides to Lana's house. And Lana is the prostitute who got him into this whole thing. And that is the moment when he dives off the deep end into corruption. Mm. Like when he goes to her house in the middle of the night on a bike, takes a train out there, and then finally gets there and sees her and they embrace when he goes into the apartment and they embrace. It's this moment that is like, it's a massive turning point in this character's innocence.
There's no coincidence in why these two films are matched up, because they almost are exact opposites. Joel, he makes the move. Everything about his life is falling apart. It falls apart, and he has to deal with it. Ferris Bueller, on the other hand, he almost avoids
everything.
Yeah, he narrowly avoids. He's able to, you know, find the well placed trampoline to get him over a fence, or not be seen by his parents, or whatever it might be. Even at the end, his nemesis sister bails him out in front of the principal when he's finally caught. There really is a difference, a dichotomy here of these two films, which tell a much different story of two teenagers in the Chicago area.
Yeah, they do.
I realize this is a modern gaze, but I'm realizing both movies are about white male privilege.
Yeah.
We're finding out that most of the movies that are in this...
No, they do.
Chicago and male privilege, and white male privilege kind of go hand in hand for some reason.
But the thing about it is there's punishment in Risky Business for the white male privilege. There's celebration in Ferris Bueller, and that's one of the...
He gets to be a pimp. That's he gets one of to the, go to Harvard.
No, that's not cool. He gets Princeton.
Princeton.
But no, his whole life is... I mean, he's corrupt. He's become a corrupt person. His egg is cracked. His mom's egg. He cracks his mom's egg. I get that. Mm-hmm. That's not... pretty simple symbolism.
That is Freudian.
She comes home, the
level
egg is cracked,
symbolism,
and you know, and so I don't know. I just the guy right. the guy who made this movie is a guy named Paul Brickman.
And I want to get into Paul in just a second. Okay. Let's bring Rick in. Rick, what do you like? Do you like Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
I like Risky Business because it's kind of like the guy is just falling apart and he's working to bring himself back, and Bueller is just a spoiled little brat that thinks the world owes him every damn thing.
That's a great point. Thanks. That we hear that a lot. Thanks, Rick. He's kind of nailed it, right? For you, Rachel, what's the scene? Because Ferris Bueller is going to be the one that has all of the drops, right? It has all, it's like
There's
Blues
so
Brothers,
many
so many
scenes.
Iconic lines. So the scene, when you think of Ferris Bueller, what's the scene that grabs you? That says this is what's the best part about this movie.
I'm so stupid because literally my favorite scene is when that little lady goes, he's a righteous dude. And it's such a little throwaway line, right?
Great character, though.
She's a great Edie McClure.
Yeah. Right, and she chugs off a bottle. But of course, like, getting to ride a float is incredible. Getting into Shea Paul was incredible. That montage in the museum is incredible. And I think the moment the car goes through the window, when we see Cameron break and we see mm-hmm. Ferris realize his actions have consequences.
And there is, I will say, I will throw a shout out for the final scene, which I believe if it's not English Beat, it's very English Beat. Ian, the run home.
Oh, but it's like ska music. Yes.
Yeah, as he's running home to get home, that is some great filmmaking of him just jumping from place to place.
The well placed trampoline. There are so many bits on bits, like the principal getting out and just missing him, and running through the house and the people in the yard, and that song is iconic.
Yeah,
I mean, people come from other countries and other states to recreate the Ferris Bueller tour for themselves.
It's amazing.
It is ridiculous.
Now, we mentioned some of the music. Yeah, some of the music for Ferris Bueller, the soundtrack, a lot of great kind of alt music for the 80s. I mean, even the Big Beat Downtown and some of the stuff that was used for Ferris Bueller was the first time we heard any of that music.
I wonder how they got the rights to Dunkashin.
Twist and Shout's right? probably right. But there was a lot of stuff, obviously the Twist and Shout and stuff like that. But man, mm-hmm. John Hughes was going pretty deep on some of the cuts for Ferris Bueller. Because when you watch Ferris Bueller, And I just watched it the other day. It is soundtracked. It's music through every scene. There's very rarely that they have a scene where there's not music in the background.
Well, comedy needs tension. So, like, the scenes where it's like Bueller or in famous Del Close, in what way? Right. Like the silence, the That's cadence
the boring
of it.
High school, right? And to quickly on the music, probably one of the best scores of all time.
Tangerine Dream
and Risky Business. The scene on the L alone.
There's only one song we remember from it. If we look at the soundtrack list, we're like, oh, but we only know the one song.
And you're forgetting about In the Air Tonight, which
precedes
the great sex on the train scene.
I don't care if it is Rebecca De Mornay and Tom Cruise doing it on a train, I would still move to the next car.
Yeah, they waited till they had to get the bum off. They were the only people on the car.
Disgusting.
In the score by Tangerine Dream, they went on to do more. They did scores before that. Their big breakthrough was a film called Sorcerer that William Friedkin made. But by the time, you know, Risky Business came out, Tangerine Dream was pretty much established, and it's one of the best scores. And it's also it's such an unusual score for what is supposed to be a teen comedy, and that also adds indefinitely to the mood of the movie. Like this, it's just something's going on. Something is simmering underneath the surface of what is supposed to be just this teen comedy.
It's really great music in both films, and this is a tough one because it seems to be a draw in all the categories. All right, let's take one more call, and then we'll get to our break. Mike, what do you like, Mike? Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
I think Risky Business because it contains one of WGN's finest men.
It does.
Yeah.
It's Harry Tainowitz.
Yeah.
All right.
Tainowitz is he's in the party.
Joel.
He's at the party?
Yeah.
Great party, Joel. That's right. Yeah.
That's great right. Party, I knew that. Joel. I knew that.
Great idea. Great party, Joel. And he's eating.
Hey, it's Harry.
It's Harry. That's
Harry Tynan.
I love Harry.
Incredible.
I love it. Thanks, Mike. Thanks. That's funny. It's Harry. All right. 312-981-7200. What do you like, Risky Business or Ferris Bueller? We'll take our break here. We'll come back. We'll get a tally on how the vote is going. You can vote on our WGN Radio Facebook page or, of course, just texting in the line. We'll read some of the texts and get to your phone calls. Rachel Mason and Nick DiGilio here. It's either Risky Business or it's Ferris Bueller moving to the final four of our Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. Stay with us. All right, here we are, the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. Justin Kaufman here, 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio and Rachel Mason are here in studio as we battle out an Elite Eight matchup between Ferris Bueller and Risky Business. He had a lot of great texts. I want to get to some of these texts and also give some poll numbers from the poll. So Risky Business, 847 says Risky Business, 219 says Risky Business, 630 says Risky Business. Your fans are coming out, Nick. 708 says Ferris Bueller all the way. I grew up just outside of Chicago in River Forest, and they filmed Vice Versa and Code of Silence on my block.
So that's Vice Versa.
There you go.
Name dropper.
All of us, 630 says, all of us were the Ferris or Cameron in high school. It relates to everybody.
Yes.
Risky Business is way better. Tom Cruise, Rebecca De Mornay, the music of Tangerine Dream, Ray-Ban sunglasses, your father's Porsche. I'm all for Risky Business. That's what this person is saying.
Yeah.
Ferris. It's amazing. And thank you for everyone who is texting in. But it's amazing the passion that these two films bring out.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. The lines. Let's quickly, before we get into why the other shouldn't, favorite lines from the film.
I have a million favorite lines from Risky Business. There is, I have a trig midterm tomorrow and I'm being chased by Guido the Killer Pimp. Curtis Armstrong also has the classic line every once booger. In a while, you got to say what the booger. And there are so many great lines in the movie. But my favorite line in the movie is said by Rebecca De Mornay. And this is after Joel is trying to stand up for himself after the egg is stolen and they want to get the money. They want to get it back. And he's telling her, don't steal anything. He's yelling her because he's got to go. The guys are waiting outside to go to school. And he's like, don't steal anything. And there's this pause. And Rebecca De Mornay delivers this line. And it's my favorite line reading in the entire movie. She goes, Joel, go to school. Go learn something. That's my favorite line. That's my favorite line in a movie that's filled with amazing lines.
Ferris Bueller's got a ton of lines.
I mean, like, from his opening speech in the shower to his closing bits in the go home.
What are you still doing here?
Right?
I mean, amazing, too, because that's a direct address, and we'll get into it, but the whole movie, Ferris Bueller is mugging the camera.
Well, I think that breaking the fourth wall, I think, like, the comedians who created that movie and the talent they had, they knew they could do something interesting. Like, it's not your average, like, boy rescues girl, and with their faithful sidekick, they have adventure. I mean, it is that, but it's so much yeah. more than that.
There's some great lines. You mentioned the Charlie Sheen line where he's like, drugs.
What are you in for?
Drugs.
Drugs.
I also think really small lines like, hey, bada, bada, so wing, bada.
Yes.
The reason that those you bring those up is because those are now in popular culture.
Everyone knows who Abe Froman is.
Everyone knows who Abe Froman is. There's a lot of that. Yeah, and all the way through. So
everyone has worn a leopard vest to get away with her, like, easy Halloween Ferris costume.
My favorite line, and I'll try to do it the best because I don't want to blow out the microphones, is, Grace! Principal is trying to get Grace to come in.
Grace!
He's on the phone. So good. All right. So we say all that. I got more texts coming in saying Ferris Bueller all the way. Ferris Bueller is total Chicago. Ferris Bueller. So obviously they're remembering those lines. But now my favorite part of this is really starting to poke holes in the other defense and really look at the other film and why they shouldn't move on. Now, I start with Nick because, Nick, this a lot of people listen to your program and know you so well here on WGN, know of your disdain for Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, I hate this movie.
So it's a perfect matchup for you. Why do you hate it? What is it about Ferris Bueller that shouldn't move on?
It is, first of all, the character of Ferris Bueller is one of the most despicable characters in film history. He's worse than Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List. That's how terrible a character he is.
I have passed away.
He is a spoiled, rotten, North Shore little jerk who gets everything handed to him on a plate, does terrible things to his friends, terrible things, and gets away with everything. It's a movie that celebrates horrible behavior, and it is a movie that, first of all, none of the...
Starting a whorehouse in your...
It's not celebrated. There's punishment. It's not celebrated at all in Risky Business.
He gets into Princeton.
Which says a lot about why the 80s were corrupt.
Yes, all men are terrible.
That's exactly what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. But it celebrates all of this stuff.
That's the difference.
No, but they recognize it.
It's a satire?
It's absolutely a satire. It's a satire on America, on American values. And it's a dark, sad satire that ends on a really dark note.
Was this always your feeling when you saw Ferris Bueller for the first time?
I hated it from the moment I saw it.
Really?
And I hate I hate breaking the fourth wall. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. It very rarely works, and because he's such a smug, annoying bastard, that every time he looked at the camera and said something, I wanted to punch him in his face. The only part of the movie that I don't despise...
I am expired.
...that I don't despise is Jeffrey Jones as the principal, and Edie McClurg. Their scenes together... Yeah.
Great physical comedy.
They're both really great and talented comedians.
Jeffrey Jones is extremely problematic.
As an actor and as a person, yes, no doubt about it. But in this role as
a principal, he's great.
And the stuff between
Edie McClurg.
It's great physical comedy. Right. They're going all over the place. They're running around. She's
outside of that.
The dog gets his leg.
But one of the characters wears a Red Wings jersey throughout the entire movie. Mm. Now, I know it's Gordie Howe, and I know that was a favorite of John Hughes. You don't put a character in a Chicago movie and have the guy wear a Red Wings
that
jersey
came up last time,
through
sure,
the whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And the whole realization that Cameron, I can handle it, or whatever the hell he says at the end when he's going to talk to his father, is so forced and so stupid. By the way, I went to Second City. With one of the people who's dancing on the float with Broderick. She's in the scene with Broderick. She's one of the dancers and singers.
Uh-huh.
Gets a lot of screen time in that scene.
Yeah, there you go.
But then, of course, I realize there's a fantastical element to it, but they would not have been able to do a third of the stuff they do on that day on Earth during a 24-hour time period.
That is not true. Like, the day I moved to Chicago, I did the Ferris Bueller tour myself. I put my head against the window. I stood and looked at the painting.
Did you go to a full Cub game?
Yeah.
You saw an entire Cub game in one day and then went to the Art Institute and then you went here and you went to Shea Paul. You did that.
You didn't go to the whole game.
No, oh, okay. Then that makes them even bigger jerks. You don't leave a Cub game. He's an even bigger D-bag than I thought he was. So, no, but I despise what that movie stands for, and I just don't think it's funny. I just don't.
Having a fun day off, you despise.
Yes.
Having a fun day off.
Absolutely.
Introspective look into Nick's world.
Yeah.
All right, so Rachel, you get the same opportunity with Risky Business. Why should Risky Business not move on?
All right, so I am a woman, so I know I have no right to have an opinion. But when I watch a movie like Risky Business, like all my protagonists were male, right? Every protagonist I ever had was male. I didn't empathize with either of those characters. They made a risky business deal where everyone suffered. There's no clear-cut good guy. And it is ultimately about how prostitution saves the day. And as a woman, that hurts my feelings. I want to be sex positive. Ferris Bueller, on the other hand, not only could I see like myself in him, I could see him in myself in Cameron, in Sloan, in the two guys who steal the car, in the little lady who, in oh god, he's already just dude,
Edie McClurg.
I like like everyone, like even the waiter at Shea Paul who takes the call, like oh, I'm a promen. They're like really, you know, like you just see Chicago reflected, just people cutting loose, having an incredible day. Mm. Well, your movie, well, it centers around, well, I guess the car accidents have different meanings. If the, like Cameron has his reckoning. This car accident sets off events that events that are at the expense of women's backs, pun intended. I cannot abide. Well, he didn't seem like a good guy to me.
He's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy. By the last third of the movie, he's a corrupt pimp.
There was some great analysis, and I saw this both on Facebook, and we've talked about these both of these films in the different rounds, but about how Chicago is represented in both films.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is represented to Joel in Risky Business as the place, it's dark. It's night. Everything down there is going to get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other way, it's Risky, or in Ferris Bueller escapes all the trappings of his suburban life to go down and have a great time, to enjoy, to dance together, to show Chicago in a more positive light. So there really is a positive negative. I'm not saying the portrayal of Chicago is wrong in Risky Business. It's actually probably better. But the
it's
but
more
the
idea, accurate.
Yeah, it's more accurate. but there's something great when you're talking about the best Chicago film that you lead with a positive. Everyone gets together and dances on a float. As opposed to trying to find where the prostitute lives. There's a different thing there.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, from the opening shots of Risky Business, it's a different thing. It's in the dark, it's on the L, you hear moaning and that beautiful Tangerine Dream soundtrack, and you know you're on a different ride. Like, this city looks a little foggy, it's dark, it's creepy. There's some layer of something that's really not great on that, and it fills the whole movie. The cinematography is gorgeous, and I will say this, I realize that the category is like Chicago movies, okay? Mm-hmm. And clearly Ferris Bueller is a movie that Chicagoans have embraced, and it was shot all over the city, and it has iconic shots in it and places that they visit. And, you know, the scenes in the city that take place in Risky Business are mostly at night. They're usually pretty dark, and they're not as well known or iconic,
right,
except for Belmont Harbor, where they actually did build a pier. There was no pier, so it could collapse and the porch could go in the water. So I can see the difference in how the celebration of Chicago, more people feel better about Ferris Bueller, because it's just a big, joyful like look at our unbelievable city. But I like the portrayal of Chicago and Risky Business better.
Nick Jillian.
You mean old man.
That's exactly right.
Are here. They're fighting it out. The Ferris Bueller and Risky Business. When we come back, we'll tally up some of the poll numbers. This is really your last chance to weigh in on whether you like Risky Business or whether you like Ferris Bueller. The winner is moving on to the final four. 312-981-7200. It's the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. The Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match rolling on here. It is Ferris Bueller versus Risky Business tonight. Nick DiGilio in studio. Rachel Mason from Second City here as well. We got a lot of people on the calls. And I got to say, 705 says Risky Business. 847 says Risky Business. 262 says Risky Business. 412 says remake Ferris Bueller starring Nick.
That's what you need. You need a 54-year-old bitter Ferris Bueller. That's the.
And then 815 wants to know why there was a parade on a school day. That's questionable.
I mean, it's a movie.
Love it. All right, let's go to some of the calls here. All right, Holly, what do you like? Do you like Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
I am a big fan of Ferris, and I'll tell you why for a couple reasons. Number one, it's a really wholesome movie. There's no alcohol, there's no sex involved, and like the text messages that came through, everyone can relate. They're either a Ferris or they're a Cameron. They're someone that kind of lives on the edge, lives on the skin of their teeth, or there's someone that's really subdued by the rules. And I think we all have had that experience. And to Nick's point about things being practical, like going to a Cubs game in the museum, who the heck is having sex on an L train, first of all?
Hey, I don't know. Have you ridden an L train, Holly? Have you ridden on an L train?
I wouldn't want to do that, right.
I mean, not in the past 3 years, but okay. Every experience I had was pretty wholesome. But, I mean, we're getting down to, like, logistics and practicality.
Good job. Good stuff. Thanks, Holly. That was great. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you there. All right. Let's go to Tracy. Tracy, what do you like? You like Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
Ferris Bueller.
Ah, you like what about Ferris? Why Ferris over Risky Business?
Man, because I like Matthew Broderick anyway.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, Risky Business, I never cared for Tom Cruise, and nah. I mean,
it's a good argument.
He's supposed to be a very short man.
For a whole week, I watched Ferris Bueller's Day for a whole week.
Yes.
That's the way you're supposed to watch it. All right. Yes. Thanks, Tracy. That's good stuff.
You have a good one.
You too.
It is one of those movies that if it's on, you watch the rest of it.
It's on right now, too. I think it's on. I saw it maybe on Amazon. I'm not sure where, but it was something that showed up.
I call those remote droppers. If it's a movie that's on, right. I drop the remote.
Right.
And I mean, my number one remote dropper, anytime it's on. No, it's Midnight Run.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Run. And my cousin Vinny.
Do you consider Midnight Run a Chicago movie?
Parts of it takes place here, but it's not Chicago. It's a road movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's a road movie, but it's a great movie, though.
Let's try Donna. Donna, you like Ferris Bueller or Risky Business?
I'm going all the way with Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
It's just, beginning to end, it's just funny. Yeah. You can't go wrong. Sorry, Nick.
I'm sorry. That's actually a line from Risky Business. No, I'm sorry, Joel.
No, I'm sorry. All right. Thanks, Donna.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go. Ferris Bueller. Nick has hated on this movie for 20 years.
Longer than 20 years.
It's true.
Longer than 20 years.
All right. So the poll numbers, and this is where we come down to the nitty-gritty of it. We put a poll up, and you know, the internet gets to vote on this. We get a lot of votes on this, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off ran away with it today. And the Facebook page at WGN, the comments, it was mostly Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller pulling 75% of the vote, which is crazy to think about in an Elite Eight. This is where you thought, you know, one of those mid-majors
Syracuse
would show up.
Syracuse
comes through, right. But this argument has made it much more interesting, thanks to Nick DiGilio and talking about some of the things that really Risky Business represents, and also talking about what Ferris Bueller represents. Both of these places, it's fun to think about where they were shot. You mentioned Belmont Harbor, New Trier High School, like the secondary campus. Everyone knows that's where Ferris was.
Highland Park High School for Risky Business.
Yeah, it's great to think about all the places that you can go in the area and still see where these movies were shot.
Cameron's house is a historical landmark.
And it's funny. They always shows up. Always shows up. Like when they'll have a real estate column. It's like, who bought Cameron's house this time? And there it is with the glass. And, the
and they're
bit.
Like, oh right, it's glass. Bye.
It takes them about a year to flip it, and they're like, all right, Ferris Cameron lived here. Both of these films are obviously Chicago greats, and only one can move on. So Ferris Bueller's Day Off moves on to the final four. Was kind of expected, but Nick put up a valiant effort.
Excellent effort.
Well, thank you. I knew I didn't have a snowball's chance in hell because for some reason people like that stupid-ass movie.
It's full of joy, which apparently you lack.
God, it is not full of joy. It's full of D-bags. Some of which are wearing Red Wings jerseys.
So, Nick, as I look to the projected Final Four, as we come now, Untouchables has made the Final Four.
Awesome.
And so has Ferris Bueller. Tomorrow night, Blues Brothers versus Wayne's World, which is their highly favored Blues Brothers.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And then you've got The Fugitive taking on the eighth seed, in this case, is Adventures in Babysitting. So it's probably a given that the other the two big heavyweights will join in the Final Four of the Fugitive and Blues Brothers. That what do you like? What do you think is the best of those four?
Of the four?
Mm-hmm. Fugitive, Untouchable.
Okay, by far Fugitive.
Ferris Bueller and Blues Brothers.
By
right,
far
Fugitive, Fugitive, we get a parade scene too.
By far.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, we get not all even the close.
City. Not even close.
No. First of all, Adventures in Babysitting was shot in Toronto. I just want to make that clear. Blues Brothers, I've never been a big fan. I've seen it a million times because it's the Blues Brothers, but I've never been a big fan.
Sir.
You know what I feel about Ferris. Yeah, wait, I love Untouchables.
Yeah.
But I would go Fugitive.
Ooh, Del Close is in the Untouchables, too.
Yes, he is.
Shows up in a lot of these films.
Yeah.
Rachel Mason, Second City, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
For the win. And Nick, we will be listening to you in a couple minutes.
I'm going to be on in just about 6 minutes
or so. There you go. The Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. Ferris Bueller moving on to the Final Four.